It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I so appreciate you joining us. Each of you are treasured, valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Jen, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It's a great day. It's 2022. We have a lot of work to do. Producer Steve, welcome.
Well, thank you. That's a special welcome. I mean, you always say, hey, good morning, or you know, whatever, but welcome. That's great.
Well, if you weren't there, I guess I don't need to welcome you, because if you weren't there, we wouldn't be on the air.
Yeah.
So it's good to have you here. But recommend that you all check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And a couple of op-eds that we rolled out this last weekend. One of them was The Encouraging End to 2021 by Alan Thomas, which is a very good op-ed. And then Pam Long, she really put a lot of time and research into this one that we also posted, which is The Best and Worst of Colorado Politics in 2021. And I would encourage that you encourage you to check that out. It's a very, very important piece. And it really brings clarity, Steve, to a lot of the issues that have occurred in this last year. And we have seen that the friend of tyrants is chaos and confusion. And the friend of freedom and everyday individuals is clarity. And with all of the news that's out there, We see this continued barrage to keep people confused and just this chaos. So this is really an important piece that Pam Long has put together here, Steve.
Well, I mean, Pam's piece, yes. And let me do a plug for the newsletter, because you know, all our listeners up and down the Front Range and people who are listening online from other places in the country, that newsletter is incredible, because I get it. And I'm kind of blown away by the things that we're going to be doing in the next week. I was like, wow, I'm kind of looking forward to this.
Well, that's good. That's the intent. And so people can sign up at my website. I'd recommend that you do that. And we do not inundate your email inbox. We typically only send one email a week. There might be a very unique circumstance where we might send a second one, but it's just one. You can rely on the fact that we're going to be very respectful of your email inbox. As I mentioned yesterday, that is one of my New Year's resolutions, and that is better email management. And I tell you, it seems like once they get a hold of your email address, it's just this barrage of things, and it's difficult to get through all the junk to get to the real meat of the emails that I really want to see. And so I'm going to get that figured out, Steve.
Well, I can appreciate that, because just sorting through another stack of mail yesterday, and a new item showed up, you know, from Washington. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, who are these guys and how did they get my address? And that's obvious what they're doing back there. But So I respect the fact that you say we're going to be careful with you know, your email address, your physical address. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very good thing, and really respect that. So be sure and sign up for that. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I really do appreciate that. And I'm also New Year's resolution is to make sure that I individually say thank you to each and every one of you. So I'm in the process of that as well. But I do really appreciate you immensely. I also appreciate these sponsors that I get to work with, and one of them is Hooters Restaurants, they have five locations. That is Loveland, Aurora, Westminster, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have great specials. I was over there during the holidays for partaking in one of their luncheon specials, and their fish and chips is really great. And they're at $10 for that. They have $8 specials, $9 specials, and $10 specials for lunch. And so I highly recommend that you get together with friends at Hooters Restaurants. They are great sponsors of the Kim Munson Show. Steve, I wanted to move over here to our quote for today, and it's by Calvin Coolidge, and he was called Quiet Cal, and he was our 30th president from 1923 to 1929. He was a Republican lawyer from New England, and he worked his way up the ladder of Massachusetts state politics, and he became the governor of Massachusetts and, of course, the president. He was born, interestingly enough, July 4th, 1872, and he died in 1933. And this is what he said: unless the people, through unified action, arise and take charge of their government, they will find that their government has taken charge of them. Independence and liberty will be gone, and the general public will find itself in a condition of servitude to an aggregation of organized and selfish interest. What do you think of that, Steve?
You know, I marvel at these inspirational quotes, because most of them are from a time gone by, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. But this one really kind of struck a chord with me, because he's obviously speaking on something he's seeing happening right, there during his presidency. And he's speaking to apathy, right?
Well, he is. And remember, under Woodrow Wilson, which was when the progressive amendments were passed to the Constitution, which was back in like 1913. Let's see, that was the income tax. The income tax. Here we go. The 16th Amendment was the collection of income taxes that was passed in 1913. And then also in 1913 is where they changed the vote for our U.S. senators away from being elected by the states and sent that over to popular election by the population as well. And that change was a very important change. Again, these are the progressive amendments, because it kind of thwarted the states' rights, states' sovereignty, states' power, or their ability as states to also have a vote in our national federal government. And the founders were very careful that they wanted to make sure the people had a voice, states had a voice, and in essence, that really kind of moved that out of the states and put more power into the federal government, and that was back in 1913. So Coolidge saw all this, and he also understood human nature, and so it's important to understand that people don't evolve. I find this interesting. Let's jump over here to Schumer, Steve. And that is Chuck Schumer is threatening to change things.
I almost said, must we? But go ahead.
Yeah, must we? Okay. And basically, it says, let's see, this is from Business Insider. It says, Schumer threatens to change Senate filibuster rules by January 17th if Republicans keep blocking voting rights legislation. And what they want to do is they want to change the rules in the middle of the game here, in preparation for this next election. And what they're always talking about is access to voting, access to voting. Wait a minute. We had the headline yesterday, access to voting, that 11,000 people in Texas who were either not eligible to vote or were dead had access to voting. That is a problem. And when you see Democrat leadership like Schumer, who is working to try to change the rules to, quote unquote, I'm going to put this in air quotes, legally create more access to voting, what that in essence is doing is that is diluting everyday hardworking Americans' vote. Because if they can dilute your vote, who you're voting for and the issues you're voting for to push through their agenda, that is of tremendous concern. And we are seeing that Schumer is threatening and he's threatening to get rid of the filibuster. And the filibuster was put there for a reason. And what he's trying to do is legalize cheating, in my opinion, Steve.
Well, you're spot on. And you and Laura yesterday, she's what, the campaign manager for?
She's the communications director for the Greg Lopez campaign.
Thank you. I knew I was close, but no cigar. Mm-hmm. But you guys made a point of this, is that this rule changing in midstream is what gets us into trouble every time. And here they go again. Now, I asked you earlier on our pre-call, is Schumer acting, you always have to differentiate between what he says on the surface and what's going on in the background. With Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema basically torpedoing the Build Back bankrupt bill. Is this kind of a preemptive move on him because he can't rally his troops? He can't depend on people? What's the deal?
That's a good question, because there is what is said publicly. You can only imagine all of the pressure that is being put on Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona and Joe Manchin from West Virginia. And it's remarkable that we are looking to these two Democrats to really hold the line for the American idea. And then we've got over on the Republican side, Republicans that don't seem to have a backbone and they're not dependable to make sure that they would vote for everyday American people as well. But there's supposed to be 60 votes to pass this new legislation. And in essence, Schumer wants to get rid of that and really thwart the rules on that. And again, this is, I think, potentially a way to, again, legalize cheating. When you look at that headline that we talked about yesterday, 11,000 people who were either dead or ineligible to vote voted in Texas elections. When you see this open border, which is bringing in people, again, that dilute taxpaying everyday Americans, dilutes their vote, what will our country look like if we don't make sure that we hold the line on free, fair, and honest elections? And when we say free, fair, and honest elections, that means that access to voting is not what our goal is. It's free, fair, and honest elections is our goal. And we need to make sure that we're holding our representatives to that line. And Steve, I really think that most Americans, there's probably that small radical percentage, maybe 10, 15, maybe 20% of the radical progressives that would want to have, quote unquote, more access to voting. But I think the big, broad swath of Americans want to make sure that we have honest elections.
To those 20%, let's say that's the number, I would challenge them. It's like, is it because your side doesn't really have any really good ideas and this is the only way you can guarantee yourselves a win?
I think that is truly the question on the table, Steve.
So. Uh-huh.
So let's go to break. Before we do that, though, wanted to give a shout out to another great sponsor of ours, and that is Kirsch Insurance Group. They're experts in the Medicare arena. And currently we're in the open enrollment. I think it's the open enrollment period. It's from January 1st through March, the end of March. And anyone on Medicare can have one opportunity to change their Advantage plan, and you can do that now. The government makes things so complicated that I would just recommend that you reach out to Kirsch Insurance Group. It doesn't cost you anything to just assess where you are with your Medicare coverage. If you're going to turn 65 this year, reach out to them as well. They can help you navigate through all that. Their website is iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. And be sure and check that out. And we'll be right back. We're going to talk with Karen Levine, another great sponsor of both the shows. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. She lives up near Superior in Louisville and want to find out what her take is on this very tragic Boulder County fire. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. On the line with us is Karen Levine. She's a great sponsor of both the shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And she is a realtor. She's been in the business for many years and can really help you navigate through this crazy real estate market. We've talked about it on a regular basis that supply is very tight. And she works diligently at the local and the state and the national level to protect property rights. And then we have this fire that occurred just last week. And up in her neck of the woods, Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Boy, first of all, you live very close to Louisville and Superior. Have you assessed the damage that occurred last week?
Well, I have not gotten out in my car looking because COVID hit our household for the new year. So we've been sort of doing that quarantine thing. But with that said, the fire was very near our home. We were in the pre-evacuation zone. Family members outside the area were very concerned about us. So we did leave our home on Thursday night. I don't think it was really necessary, except it maybe was responsible. But when you assess the damage based on what we see through our media and through my friends who live in the Boulder, Superior, Lafayette, and Louisville areas, 900 and some structures were lost. Many of those were housing. And that just puts on our system more stress, more opportunity for people to take advantage of other people, for scams to happen. I know that six of my realtor friends lost their personal properties and some of their investment properties in addition to their six personal homes. It's really a heartbreaking situation, and I appreciate the opportunity just to come on the line and let people know that the realtor family, we live in your communities, and we are part of your communities, and we are here to support and to help. And the Colorado Association of Realtors has the Realtor Foundation, which provides help in housing, and they've now set up a separate fund specifically for the fires. And then at a national level, the Realtor Relief Fund was set up after 9/11. Our past president, Charlie Oppler, challenged us to raise $8.5 million in 2021. We met that goal at the conference I was at the end of the year. And so the nice thing, the positive thing is we're prepared for disaster and to be able to come and help our communities.
Karen, what went through your mind when you did that pre-evacuation? You looked at your home, you looked at your pets. What went through your mind at that time, Karen?
Well, first, it feels super surreal. This isn't something that happens in, you know, the suburban area of a metropolitan city. It just, that doesn't happen. It happens on TV. And so looking over the ridge at the jet black billowing cloud coming our way, you start to sort of assess what's important for sure. And when you're packing up suitcases and trying to figure out what you're supposed to pack up, it sort of becomes unimportant. you pack up your family, your pets, and you grab photos because those are memories. And then maybe if there are things of value that you can remember where you put them in a safe place, you pack them up. And then maybe a change of clothes. I didn't even remember to bring my glasses.
Oh, boy. That is important. When there were the fires down in the El Paso County area, I remember a friend of mine said that what she did, because she had prepared for some evacuation, is that she grabbed her dirty clothes hamper, because those are the clothes that you wear all the time. And I thought, huh, I never would have thought of that.
Oh, me neither. That's, you know, it's just fascinating. You react. And I don't think I was in a state of panic by any stretch of the imagination. I think I had my head about me, but it's not something that you plan for. And I guess maybe it taught me to give it some thought, maybe to have a plan. I'm very, very grateful that I came home on Friday to my home and to my neighborhood. And I know, you know, my friends, some of them did not.
And it's really remarkable. There's that point individually where you are grateful. And then there's the other side. It's you can't even imagine this loss that people have had. Now, producer Steve and I live very close to each other. And he mentioned yesterday that power lines are important. Electricity powers our lives. And we talk about it all the time. Reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy really powers our lives. And so this is such a unique situation. I don't think we know the details for sure on how this thing started. I think it'll probably take some time. But it was a remarkable time with the winds that, and it does get really windy up there in that corridor, but
oh,
this was,
trust me. I'm on roof number six.
Okay. But, it could happen. And as you mentioned, we think that it would not happen in a suburban or urban area, but it certainly can. And so I guess we all need to assess and kind of think about what we would personally do in a disaster, Karen.
Exactly. And I think now, as you know, the homeowners and the families that are without housing, they're going to have a lot of decisions to make. They're going to there's a lot of things that are going to be put forth for them with regards to temporary housing and what are their needs immediately and you know, toiletry items, all the things that they've lost that are just simple things in life. And I just want the listeners to know that the DeVito Dreammaker team, myself, all my team members, we're here as a resource on the housing piece to give them direction, to make sure they're not being scammed, to know what's available, to help them. Our goal has always been to be that resource and that professional in the marketplace. And, you know, I think of the simple things too, which are the toiletry items. You know, you just now need toothbrush and toothpaste.
Well, and I know a number of the charities are stepping forward on this. Yesterday, Greg Lopez, who's running for governor in 2022 here in Colorado, he had been an official with the Small Business Administration, and he recommended that everybody, every business, every individual sign up with FEMA. And I don't quite understand all that, but that was one of the things that he recommended, Karen.
And in doing that, you mean those who were
who lost their homes or lost their homes or lost their businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard that the goal is, you know, you need to get signed up with them just because the process is so long.
Okay.
That if you wait, you know, you've lost time.
Do you know how people would do that? We should probably try to figure that out and put that in the show recap.
Yeah, I'm guessing that you can just go to FEMA. And I'm guessing it's .org. But also I know for the people in the Superior Lafayette, I mean Superior Louisville area, FEMA has set their trailer up.
Oh, okay. So people can check that out as well. Okay. What do you think this is going to do to the housing, lack of housing, you know, here in the metro market? Is this going to increase prices for people? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah. And it's just going to put more pressure on our system. And the concerns that we have is the rental housing market still has pressure on it as well. But my thinking was we should have substantial amount of luxury apartments available for people to be able to utilize. So that could take some pressure off the buying market. But inventory coming into the new year, condominium townhome inventory in the Front Range was at 517 units.
Houses
were at less than 1,600.
And we
lost
900. Yeah, okay. One other thing, Karen, that you've mentioned, and I, again, this is big public policy, and you and I have watched it, and it's taken us a while to get our brains around it, but public policy has really been in a position where they have been supporting rentals and really making it more difficult for single-family housing to be built, and that has contributed to this crunch. And this didn't happen overnight. This has been public policy for a number of years. And last time you were in, you mentioned that you have a friend that's been trying to get, I guess, a multi-unit. Right. But from a public policy standpoint, it's difficult to get financing for owner-occupied, but he's able to get financing if it's a rental unit. And again, this is, I think, an assault on private property rights. What's your thoughts on that, Karen?
It most definitely is, because it has taken away the rights of developers and builders and then soon-to-be homeowners to make business decisions in a fair market. And if they came out with a plan to build ownership units, and then they went to get their financing and basically were told, oh, we won't finance ownership units, but we'll finance rental units. Why was those policies put in place to make that more favorable to the banking institutions?
Right. And so, again, it is public policy, which is those PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are making decisions about picking winners and losers. So, Karen, first of all, thank you for joining us. I know it breaks our hearts what has happened to all of these, our neighbors up here in the Boulder County area. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
I just would caution anybody who has suffered loss to think twice before making some decisions. And if you need help with regards to understanding your housing options, please reach out to me at 303-877-7516, because my goal is to give you good, solid market information so you know what your choices are and what your options are, and put you in a position, hopefully, of empowerment.
Absolutely, Karen Levine, you're the real pro at that. Again, that number is 303-877-7516. Karen, feel better. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, it seems like as we go through our headlines, it's COVID, 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 COVID. And so a person that we like to talk to about that is Dr. Jill Vecchio. And when we come back, we'll go through some of the stuff that's happening regarding COVID. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. Keep our independent voice out there as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And of course, coercion is a form of force. Wanted to set something up here. Dr. Jill Vecchio, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Kim.
It's always a great conversation. Producer Steve, you had something that you wanted to get the reaction, Jill's and my reaction to. So set this up for us.
Well, this hit me like a brick. And I thought, well, is this not one of the primary tools of the people really pushing the virus down our throats or the response to it? It's called zonerism. And it comes from a 1997 high school science project. 14-year-old Nathan Zoner got 43 out of 59th graders to vote in favor of banning dihydrogen monoxide, also known as water. Think of it, dihydrogen 2, mm-hmm. monoxide 1. So he's getting these kids to vote on banning water because they don't know what dihydrogen monoxide is. The hoax was a science fair project, which he titled, "How Gullible Are We?" He not only won the science fair, but also inspired the term zonerism, defined as the use of a fact to lead a scientifically ignorant public to a false conclusion.
Well, and as I look at this, what he explained that dihydrogen monoxide could cause severe burns while it's in gas form. It corrodes and rusts metal, kills countless amounts of people annually, is commonly found in tumors and acid rain, etc., and causes excessive urination and bloating if consumed. And so those are the things that he put out there. And so 43 out of the 50 kids voted to ban water. Dr. Jill Vecchio, what's your thoughts on zonerism?
You know, it's a sad thing. People are so gullible. It's amazing what, you know, sheeple, right? The term sheeple, I always thought was kind of unfortunately appropriate too many times. They just believe what they're heard so they can get back to their cell phone and go back to their whatever it is they really want to do rather than educating themselves and really critically looking at things. It's a lot easier just to maybe even, you know, most of the time not even listen to a news program or read an article. They would rather just go on with whatever it is they're having fun with and just be completely ignorant to any kind of critical thinking or facts or evaluation.
Well, and
ignorance is bliss, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is until it's not. And
yeah,
that's where
right.
I think that we're very concerned about that. Jill, as Patty has pulled headlines for us, there is just all kinds of headlines, really a number of them concerning regarding the FDA, the boosters for children. But there was one thing that I think that you wanted to address regarding, because you always are searching for truth and clarity as well, as there was this concern about this executive order that Polis had issued last year regarding hospital admissions. And I was very concerned about it, but you had kind of, I think, a different take on that or some light that you wanted to shed on that.
A different way to kind of think about it, because I read the executive order. This was issued on November 1st. Let me see if I can get the number for it. Let's see here. It was issued on November 1st of 2021, discussing, you know, there's a huge spike in COVID that's kind of at the overlap. It's Omicron now is the variant that they're blaming for this, although it's probably several different mutations. Who knows? But the hospital admissions were skyrocketing. They were blaming it on the unvaccinated, which I have some new information on from Texas. But their narrative was it's all the unvaccinated are swarming the hospitals, so we're going to give the government and hospitals and public health officials the authority to determine whether or not someone should be transferred from a hospital or an emergency room to another facility for treatment of whatever it is they have. They're completely, like, it's not just transferring COVID patients, and it's the way it was reported by by the, what would you call, the right side, right? The right versus left. So it would be the right-sided publications and blog spots are all saying, Polis is going to turn away and not treat COVID patients that haven't been vaccinated. It doesn't say anything about vaccine status in that executive order, and I understand a lot can be implied. What it is talking about is transferring, like triaging the patients that are in the hospital, making room for patients who need ventilators and need acute care, and transferring patients who may not, with whatever ailment, who may not need that level of care over to another facility. And that was what it actually says. So if people want to extrapolate it to non-vaccinated, that's not what it says. And I've just been reading through the executive orders of the public health orders. They specify, you know, treatment will be issued with monoclonal antibodies, whether or not the person has been vaccinated or, you know, I mean, so let's, you know, folks, just speak the truth. That's my point. Speak the truth, because the minute you start spouting off and bloviating about this other stuff, you've just lost your credibility. You've just lost me as an audience, and you're looking like a hysterical fool. So, but if there are questions to be raised, then absolutely raise them. But don't immediately jump to they're not going to treat unvaccinated people, because enough of that is going on truthfully, and we know that. Keep it truthful.
Okay, Jill, and this is what, well, a couple of things. I have heard of actual cases of medical discrimination. And
oh, right. Yes. So, no. We've talked about that. So I'm not saying that that's not happening. I'm saying that's not what was in that executive order. That's what I'm saying.
So I'd like to just talk a bit about Polis and what he says and what he doesn't say. First of all, he does somewhat of a flip-flop, I think, when he was out on national news recently saying that it wasn't his job to, was it either mass or vaccines? I can't remember now what it was, but it wasn't his job to make that decision, to force that. And he happened to come out and do this when his approval numbers went under 50%. And there are those in the media, and he's trying to push this narrative that he is, quote unquote, a libertarian. But yet, what? These executive orders may not say specifically a medical discrimination, but I think people are concerned because what in essence he has put in place is the power for these administrative bureaucracies to push forward the tyrannical decisions on things. And then he sits back and says, I didn't do it, but yet he's put in place the people that are making that happen. So I think that's where people have had real concerns. You say he didn't say specifically that there would be discrimination against the unvaccinated. But what we've seen through these administrative bureaucracies is that there is discrimination on that. So I think that's where people were are concerned with that, Jill.
Except, you know, I kind of wonder how much, because it seems to me people haven't required an executive order to already be treating the unvaccinated patients differently, correct?
Correct.
So they haven't needed, these hospitals and these individual physicians have made these determinations or been told to make these determinations with regardless of an executive order by Polis. Now, maybe Polis's executive order allowing people to be transferred to other facilities, I mean, that's a huge thing that's possible. A lot of things, and apparently they mentioned this, that executive order from November refers to one that was issued long ago in 2020 when they thought their hospitals were going to be overrun. So it was kind of a reiteration of a much older executive order, allowing hospitals flexibility to move patients around and things like that without their consent to make room for acute care patients, just in case the COVID thing got huge. I mean, I am highly suspicious, and I understand that they are setting this whole thing up for horrible actions using COVID as an excuse. and they're just going to see how far they can go. And I get that, and I get the criteria. So POLIS issues this amorphous executive order that can be interpreted a whole bunch of different ways. The key is, how are the hospitals and corporate medicine, how are they going to deal with this? And because ultimately they're going to be making a lot of these rules, and in the under the auspice of a national emergency, a state emergency, emergency at the hospitals. One thing they don't tell us in all of their statistical spouting and data collection, they say, oh, so many patients have gotten COVID, so many patients have been hospitalized. It doesn't say over what time period. It doesn't say, and then it says so many people have died of suspected or confirmed. They're still using suspected COVID cases. That definition that was really, that came out before tests were available. So I want to know, I want to try and find out what exactly definition are they using to count something as a COVID death these days. Are they still using the April 2020 definition from the CDC, as in symptoms? Like if you have cough, sore throat, nausea, diarrhea, headache, you know, any this symptoms that could be a common cold or the flu, are they still lumping that all together? And even if they have a negative COVID test, because we know those tests are only 50% accurate anyway, right? So if they have a negative COVID test but still have symptoms, even though it could be flu or cold, are they still counting that as COVID? And I think they are.
Okay.
So they're using that to manipulate the numbers, to scare the people. They want to wonder why hospitals and all the test kits are run out, because they've created this atmosphere of absolute panic. So you can't get a test. You can't find a test. Walgreens has been out of their rapid tests for a week. You wonder why people are hoarding tests. I mean, and you wonder why people are flooding ERs with colds. With colds. This is also cold season. People are getting colds. I've had a cold. Tom's had a cold. My neighbors had a cold. I know 20 people have had a bad cold. You know, and all of them, almost all of them, took a COVID test and it was negative. So it's kind of, okay. So are you going to count that? If I showed up in the ER with that kind of a cold, panicked, where otherwise I wouldn't even think anything of it, but now I'm panicked because of COVID, so I show up to the ER or an urgent care center to get care for a common cold that in 2019 I wouldn't have dreamed of going to a hospital or
right.
urgent care. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, right,
so
absolutely.
So they created this panic, and now they're wondering why the hospitals are overrun, why the tests, why there's this atmosphere. It's not COVID itself. It's the fear that they've created and the panic they've created in people, that they're over-treating and they're seeking medical care for something that they, 2 years ago, they would never have even thought twice about, other than stayed in bed and took some zinc and vitamin C.
Right, and we had Dee Dee Chisholm on with Bella Health Wellness on it was before Christmas, and apparently vitamin D and zinc, and I'm not giving medical advice at all, but I continue to see more and more reports where that can be very helpful to thwart off COVID and also keep you healthier. So you know what, Jill, let's go to break, though. I want to continue this conversation.
Okay.
And talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio regarding just this COVID fear and this COVID narrative and what's going on out there. So before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of both the shows. They are located in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. I'm headed to a wedding here soon and decided to get a very nice knife for the kitchen for the bride and the groom, because those are tools that they last a lifetime. So Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go, whether or not you're looking for birthday or a wedding gift, or you want a new kitchen set yourself, or say for a wedding. I know the number of grooms have gotten knives for their groomsmen, so would suggest checking that out as well. That website is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I've got on the line with me Dr. Jill Vecchio. We're talking about COVID. And Jill, several things. I go through this and I'm looking at these headlines. And we talk about freedom versus force, force versus freedom all the time. And Starbucks has unveiled a new vaccine policy for their employees. And it basically is saying that it's going to require all of its workers to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 or undergo weekly testing that people have to pay for it themselves. The FDA has just come out and said that they've approved a booster for children ages 12 to 15. But even though there's something I'm super concerned about, and that is this whole myocarditis problem that's occurring in young men. And then you see the Marines kick out 206 Marines who say they don't want to get vaccinated. There's so many questions about this vaccine. And of course, then we have breakthrough cases. But I'm seeing force, coercion all around this. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. But specifically, what about this myocarditis? Because that's something that I think is real.
Oh, that's very real. And myocarditis commonly is caused by, typically, it's caused by a virus. The vaccines, by definition, have to contain some replica. Here it's the mRNA vaccines. It's a synthetic replica, which is the first time that's ever been done. It's a synthetic piece of the RNA of the virus, I think mostly the spike protein, but I don't think we actually know exactly what all is in these virus, in these vaccines. And then they talk about the boosters. How are they changing the vaccine so quickly to have these boosters out? Have they changed the vaccine, or is it just the same vaccine that we're getting over and over again? What's different about it? What's happening with this? And I don't honestly know. I've never heard anybody talk about what the difference is. But the myocarditis, anytime you have a vaccine, you can have a reaction to the vaccine. That's why the pharmaceutical companies threatened Congress that they would stop making vaccines because they could never make a safe vaccine. This is in the 1980s. So they asked Congress, they said, we're going to stop making vaccines altogether unless Congress passes a law that releases us from any liability for adverse outcomes of any of our vaccines. So that happened. Congress passed that. So if there's an adverse reaction, you want to sue somebody, you end up suing the federal government. The federal government, in other words, we are paying for the American taxpayer is paying for the injury caused by vaccines made by private pharmaceutical companies that are making billions. It's crazy.
It's kind of what's wrong
nuts.
With that picture. Well, there seems to be...
And then we wonder why vaccines, the number of vaccines that kids are getting have skyrocketed. Autism has skyrocketed. Autoimmune disease is skyrocketed. And the pharmaceutical companies are just pumping. And the CDC keeps recommending more and more vaccines, more and more often, in, you know, five at a time or something, because the CDC is making a ton of money. Fauci and the CDC own part of the Moderna vaccine.
Boy, that's a conflict of interest.
Personally, Yeah, Merck is going to make something like 26, is it Merck? 26 or Pfizer or somebody, $26 billion just in 2021 from all the COVID vaccine crap. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. The CDC, I think they own part of the testing kits. They own a bunch of patents for testing. So the CDC is making a ton of money. Individuals at the CDC are allowed to make personal money and be invested in pharmaceutical companies. Now, you tell me where there's a conflict of interest. This is absolutely crazy that we're allowing this. And Fauci is one of the biggest recipients of this stuff, and his mentor, Gallo. So the book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., halfway through it, called The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a lifelong Democrat. His research is incredible. This book is unbelievable. Exposing stuff, his research, he'll have, like, at the end of a chapter, 10 pages of references and footnotes. This thing is well-documented. It's an amazing book. Tells you what is really going on behind the scenes here. I highly recommend it to everybody. You and I were going to, I think you kind of said you were going to, we were going to talk about it a little bit, but I can't recommend it enough. It talks about how Fauci and the pharmaceutical companies combined with the media, because let's face it, what are the most ads you see on a news station in a non-election year? Pharmaceutical ads. Pharmaceutical ads, pharmaceutical ads. They support all the major news networks. So guess who's not going to talk about Big Pharma in a bad way? News networks. And he's done a ton of research on exactly how they killed hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. There are still some pharmacies here in town that will fill an ivermectin prescription. They're charging ridiculous amounts of money, which should cost about $5. They're charging between $90 and $150 for now.
It's a supply and demand thing, though.
Yep, exactly. So, only a few pharmacies are filling those prescriptions now. I know CVS and King Supers are not, which is really pathetic. Anyway, but it talks about, you know, his book talks about how they killed hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and turned them into the bad guys. Through the CDC, our own government was leading the charge in this, and you can follow the money right down the line. The connection of the CDC, individuals at the CDC with Big Pharma. Yeah, it's a classic follow the money routine. Although, you know, at this level, it's hard to imagine that there's not some other motive. But, you know.
Okay, well, Jill, we've got a couple of minutes left. Here we are, 2022 America, and we're seeing pressure now for parents to get their kids vaccinated. And as you mentioned, the media, the messages out there, there's big advertising budgets with federal money, government money for this. But it seems to me just to recommend people to, A, become advocates for their own health. Realize that maybe we all maybe need to shed a few pounds, up our vitamins, and start to become advocates for ourselves. What would you say, we got 2 minutes left, to people in 2022 America right now?
Hold your ground. We're going to have to get past this fear thing. At some point, when will people just say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm sick of being afraid of this. I'm going to live my life. I'll wear the mask once in a while, but for crying out loud, stop being in fear. I had some friends the other day I was talking to on the phone, and they said, we haven't been getting out much. And one of our sons, we don't really see, he didn't want the whole family together for Christmas because of COVID. I mean, this is a young family with young kids. And then my friends are older, but not old, and they're in great physical condition. And they're like, well, thank God, thank heaven the vaccine is out and people are getting vaccinated. I said, you realize the vaccine's not working. Oh, there was an article in Houston about a hospital in Houston. I think it was Houston, something Memorial Hospital. Anyway, they studied from mid-November to mid-December the number of patients in the hospital and ICU. Exactly half of the patients that were hospitalized on ventilators and had died were people that were fully vaccinated.
It's truly remarkable.
We also talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that antibody-dependent enhancement on the show with Dr. Weiss, Dr. Jack.
Weiler.
And Jack Lyons Wheeler?
Yeah, Dr. James Lyons Wheeler. And Jill, we're running out of time, but we're going to have him on next week. And I think you're going to join us again for that particular interview.
Yes.
So, Dr. Jill Vecchio, always a great conversation. I so appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks. Take care.
And our quote for today is Calvin Coolidge, and this is a famous one. You guys, many of you know this. He says, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. And education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.